And thank you, each and every one of you, for coming this morning. I am excited for our brother this morning. I wanted to ensure that everybody knows we didn't call each other this morning to color coordinate this service, but it's kind of funny how brilliant minds think alike.
That means the wives.
That's the wives. Yeah, they're probably the ones who got us dressed this morning. But anyways, I really like to introduce my brother here. I appreciate the relationship that I have with him. I know that he cares and is very kind in his words and wants us all to have a clear understanding of the gospel and what the Lord has for us in our lives. And he tries to communicate that to us as effective as he can. And he puts the time and the effort into that. And we see that in his daily work and in his wisdom and the knowledge that the Lord has blessed him with. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our brother Gordon McCann and let him take this service over and give his presentation to each and every one of you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. It's been a long time since I've had an opportunity to stand before you. I guess I ought to turn this rascal on here. Can you hear me? Is it on? Okay. The topic, the Book of Mormon, one of my favorite topics, right? And with that comes I am he. These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first. That is the whole point of the Book of Mormon, that the Lord had intended a people to write and keep a record of those things that the Lord intervened in their lives and had recorded throughout several generations, and that those records came forth, as we know as the Book of Mormon, in these last days. So, and the whole focus behind it is pointing to who? Christ. I am He, and that's why I have this topic here. Why the Book of Mormon? There are six basic reasons. First, to establish the truthfulness of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. It is that added testimony of Jesus Christ working among the children of men. And it came forth in God's plan to help to establish the Bible that we carry this day. The next thing, make known the plain and precious things that have been removed from the original text. Because the Bible has gone through all the different hands throughout the different generations of time after the apostles or the disciples, the gospels that were written, of those testimonies, there were things that were removed or made more complicated because of those things that the designs of men that wanted to preach or teach different precepts and kind of change the truth. Then to confirm that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and Savior of the world. Now, that should ring a bell to every one of us because a lot of people don't have a full understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And the understanding of the role that he had, that the plan of the Father gave him a plan to fulfill. And he did it. And that the Son, the God, that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father, the Savior of the world. That all mankind, everyone, must come to Jesus Christ or they cannot be saved. There is no other avenue. There is a life after this life. This soul will continue when this body is laid down. The whole point that Jesus Christ is endeavoring to do in our lives is that we might be able to be a part of his life in that new world. They must come according to the words established by the mouth of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of teachings out there that don't necessarily conform to this. That's why that added record was brought forth, to verify that those things that were taught in the Bible, that Christ, those things, those accounts, and the workings of Jesus Christ in the lives of the children of men from the early days in the Bible all the way to the Book of Revelation as we have it today. But that that this record, the Book of Mormon, would confirm those teachings. And then both records, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, have been established in one, meaning we have it and they are now together as a testimony before the children of men that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So with that thought, what brought me to bringing this topic was I was reading in the account of the brother of Jared in the Book of Mormon, and it was the Lord speaking after a particular event. Now, I hope that some of our young kids remembers the Sunday school stories about how the brother Jared exercised great faith when he wanted to have light in the boats that they were to build, that when they would be launched, that they would have, because they were going to be sealed, that they would have light to be able to see. And so he prayed in faith, right? You young people, if you remember that story. And that when he asked the Lord, he had formed those stones, and he wanted that the Lord would touch those stones, that they might shine forth, that he would be able to use them in the boat for light. And when he prayed and the Lord had reached out to touch the stones, he saw his finger. And his faith saw the hand of Christ, right? And so then the Lord appeared before the brother of Jared. Now, this is that account. The Lord shewed himself unto him and said, because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. Meaning that his faith became knowledge. And as you read the text, you understand that the brother, that the Lord would, through the blessings of his faith and that knowledge, he would have to reveal himself to the brother Jared in completeness. And so this is what we're seeing. And the Lord is saying, because shewed himself, showed the brother Jared. This was before Abraham. This was after the flood and the dispersal of the people at the Tower of Babel. Because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall, therefore ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore I shew myself unto you. Behold, I am he. And this is the focus. That's the reason why I put it in the beginning. I am he, meaning Christ made a point to help him to understand. I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. We're going to talk a little bit about these things. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally, even they which shall believe on my name. And they shall become my sons and my daughters. And never have I shewed myself unto man whom I have created, for never hath man believed in me as thou hast. Seest thou that you are created after mine own image? Even all men, or mankind, were created in the beginning after my own image. Behold, this body which you now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit, and even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. Well, I shouldn't have pushed that up, but I want that to kind of sink in when we continue on. There was a lot that the Lord had said to the brother of Jared to explain who he was. To me, it was a completeness, a complete picture of the Lord. Now, you can find those things in the scripture, in the Bible, but they're not in the clarity and the that is presented like we see here. In the book of John, in the first chapter, you can read about those things. As to who created the heavens and the earth and all things in them are. That was the Word. That was Jesus Christ. You can go into Hebrews in the first chapter, and you can read there where he says, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee. Okay? That he was the Father of mankind. And he was given the authority to create all things. But you find that complete picture in those few verses of Scripture. But here I want to search the words of Isaiah. I want to make this connection from those teachings which you find in the Book of Mormon when Christ was with those who were here in the Americas. And he taught them the same gospel, the same teachings that he taught those in Jerusalem. And after his resurrection, he came and he visited those people here in America. And I want you to see some of the things that he stressed in his teachings to them concerning the Scripture that we have contained in the Bible. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which saith, in that verse of Scripture in 3 Nephi in the 7th chapter, verse 43, you find that he is pointing to the prophet Isaiah. We learn that in the prophet Isaiah, in the 29th chapter, he talks about that there was going to be a book that was going to come forth. And there is no other, when you look at commentators and you look at other people that try to look at that chapter 29, they are befuddled. They cannot answer the question as to why those words were spoken, but we can, because of how the Book of Mormon came forth and why it came forth. So then in the second reference here, this is in 3 Nephi 9:47, you remember that I speak unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, you have them before you, therefore search them. So we see a kind of a common thread here in some of the teachings that the Lord was saying, you know, you need to look at the book of Isaiah because he was a prophet of mine. And he spoke of things that were to be, that were are, and that those things that are to come. And it would be a help to all of us if we would look at those words and consider them as it pertains to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the other one says, yea, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah. And really, the book of Isaiah talks about the falling away of Israel and the reclaiming of Israel. And that relationship that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, that worked with those people of Israel through Moses and through the house of Jacob, that we find that the book of Isaiah helps us to understand that great plan, and we become a part of it because there are promises that are spoken of concerning the Gentiles. So the testimonies, I am he, the prophet Isaiah. So Christ says, he points to him, he says, you need to study those things. And so I want to bring forth some of these things that Isaiah had said, pointing to Jesus Christ. It's important for us to see these things. So we find in Isaiah 41:4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, the last, I am he. I like this because it is supporting what again, when I began this, the words that were spoken to the brother of Jared. He was prepared. Christ was prepared from the very beginning. That's why he is known as the only begotten of the Father. Have you ever thought of that? The only begotten of the Father. He was the first and the last of that creation. I am he. In Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The word formed here is basically is fashioned or as a potter forms a piece of clay, but for a particular purpose. And Christ was begotten of the Father for a specific purpose. In Isaiah 43:11-13, and I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, there are other religions in the world, but they don't point to Christ as the only begotten of the Father. Some acknowledge that he is a prophet, but he wasn't the prophet or the Son of God. There's others that deals with the Jewish faith as well as the Muslim faith. But here we find in the words of Isaiah, "Beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have shewed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." As God worked with the children of Israel throughout that period of time that you find Isaiah prophesying, those people became a witness of the power of God working with them. They could not deny it. And so it was recorded that we find in the Bible. And so they become a witness to who God is and who the Son of God is, that he is he. "Yea, before the day was, I am he." Meaning before the creation, he was with the Father. I love the words you find in the book of John in the 16th chapter when he is praying and he's praying to his Father, and he says he would like the glory, the same glory that he had when he was with his Father before he came to the earth. He longed for that day to return to his Father. "I will work, and who shall let it or reverse it?" Who will reverse the work of Jesus Christ? No one. Again, in Isaiah 46, 3-4, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb." This particular one, he's talking about that relationship that he has with him. That because that he had created them and given them the ability to bring forth children, just like us. He is aware of that. He's aware of that beautiful gift to procreate, that you might be his children. And so that's why he's expressing this to Israel. But we have that same, we fall under that same covenant, those of us who come and are baptized and become a part of that beautiful covenant that the Lord offers everyone through baptism, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. Meaning that he's reminding them that he is with you when you make your first breath, and he's going to be with you on your last breath when you leave this world, if you put your trust in him. I have made, meaning he's the one that brought about that creation, I will bear, he will bear you up as a father. Even I will carry and will deliver you. That's that beautiful promise that comes through the knowledge and the understanding and allowing Jesus Christ to work in your lives. "Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I." Meaning that if we're not like the brother Jared and we haven't exercised our faith to the point where we will actually see Jesus Christ, but we have faith enough to put our trust in him through all the days of our life, allowing him to work in our lives, right? And to help us, to hold us up as he promises, that at that day when we return to the God who created us, that's what it says in the Bible, that we will see him for who he is. And we'll acknowledge he's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Gospel of John, again, more testimonies, I am he. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, Jesus was speaking these things, and it's recorded in the book of John. He was speaking to the Pharisees and the Jews at the time, and they were challenging him as to his authority. Who are you? And he tried to tell them who he was, and they wouldn't believe, because they were looking with the eyes, not of the eyes of the spiritual, but the eyes of the human flesh. They would not allow that spirit to convict them, to help them to understand who Christ was. And that's why he was pointing out here, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So then when you go to John 18:6, you see, here's the rest of the story. It says, and as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, where is this coming from? This was the time when Christ was and his disciples were up in the garden, and he had been praying. And Judas had betrayed him. And so Judas brought a band of men and officers, chief priests of the Pharisees, to come up and arrest him, because they believed that he was preaching sedition. And it's interesting to me how it is worded here, because they asked him. Christ asked him, he was talking to him, who do you seek? Well, we seek this Jesus. And he said, I am he. And what happened? They went backward and fell to the ground. That's all of them. That was the Spirit convicting them, helping them to see a small glimpse of who was standing before them. And they were humbled immediately. They fell to the ground. But did that change their heart and mind? No, it didn't. But I like this, because you can see the power of the testimony that was here, and how hardened their hearts were to see the truth of those who wanted to convict them. The book of Revelation of John. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That was given to him of the Father. Again in Revelation 2:23, I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That was part of that thing that Christ spoke to the brother of Jared, speaking of the reward that would come if we would understand who Jesus Christ was and why he came and why we were, why we are, why were we created. The promises to the Gentiles, this is another thing that you find in this particular book of Ether. These records, and it says here in Ether 1, around 100, they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. Now, I put this in here because it's something that we need to be aware of, that there truly is, there's more records. There are more records, a testimony of Jesus Christ. There's more for us. I want our young people to understand that we have this. We have these records here. But guess what? We could have more. We could have more of an understanding of those things that Christ taught among the children of men. And why is that? It will be for the purposes that, and the plan that was given to Christ for our salvation. And it'll come forth because of that, for that one particular purpose. That there's more. Throughout the generations, when you read the Bible, if you're a student of the Bible, you'll find that there's different ones who who exercised their faith, and they were given more because of their faith, more knowledge. When Christ was, it was Peter, James, and John, who appeared before him? Moses and Elijah. He gave them more because of their faith. And it was a testimony. They had that testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And who he was, they saw who he was. Because he was transformed at that time. Or transfigured, as it says. So you can find it throughout the scriptures, how those exercised great faith, they received more. Those who don't exercise faith, to that extent, that's what they'll receive. Right? That's that promise. It never changes. God does not change. And that's why, through faith, that came forth as an added witness based on the plan of God in this dispensation of time. To prove that I am He. I am Jesus Christ. I'm the same. And I teach the same thing, and I want all to understand that as a testimony of that plan that His Father. When I'm in the Philippines, I repeat myself a lot concerning Jesus Christ. When He says, I do all things that my Father commands me to do. That's how faithful His Son is. And He's asking for that same faith and that same faithfulness in our own lives. To the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the plan that Christ is unfolding this day among the children of men. And in that day that they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them all my revelation. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful thing to think upon. That the Lord, as He did with the brother of Jared, as He did with the people in Zarahemla, to King Mosiah, as they exercised faith to that point, He revealed those things, that perfect plan, to strengthen their faith because of it. It became knowledge. The words of Christ, it says, I am the same that leadeth men to all good. So really we can judge these things that we have, that were given as the added testimony. Does it teach the things of Christ? Yes, it does. Are those things in there no different than those things that we find in the Bible? They're no different. The things that were testified in both books confirm that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am He. He that will not believe my words will not believe me. That I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe the Father which sent me. It's a very simple thought. If we cannot believe the things that Christ had done in the flesh, if we won't allow ourselves to take our faith to that level to understand that He is the Son of God, we're not going to fully understand the Father who created Him and the plan that He has for the children of men. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will shew unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. I'm thankful that we have a loving Father who sent His Son that we might have life, that we might have that relationship with the Father through His Spirit, that when we read these words, when we read these words out of the Book of Mormon, the Bible, I can't tell you how many times when I avail myself to the Word of God, when the Spirit rests upon me and gives me perfect clarity of whatever that thing is I'm reading, to the point where, you know, I come to tears that quick. I want you to experience the same things. I want you to exercise your faith to that point, that when you read those words, you feel the presence of the Spirit, and it confirms the truthfulness of those words that you find in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon that teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling to each of us to come. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon all the face of the land. And so really, this was like it was a major event in the plan of Christ. It was kind of like turning over an hourglass. It would be no different than that major event that took place when Moses was called to bring Israel out of Egypt. And he was given a plan, he was given a law, and he gave it to his children. It was a turning point for the seed of Abraham. It's a turning point for us as well, because it gives us a more perfect, a more clear understanding of those things that are spoken of in the Bible, and it confirms the truthfulness of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, that God is the same, and he works with the children the same as he has done from the beginning of time. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. Remember those Pharisees, how through their pride, and the Jews that were under those teachings, they rebelled against the Son of God because it was different. It didn't ring a familiar note to them because of the things that they had been taught. Even though the law of Moses was to point to Christ, it had been polluted by men. And through Christ it had an end. What a beautiful plan. What a beautiful plan the Lord has. The Lord calls us to repentance. And so we find an ether in the first chapter, verse 115. Therefore repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me. Come unto Jesus Christ. Know that he is. Know that he has all long-suffering, great charity to those that he created. He has a desire for you to succeed by applying your faith. He doesn't have a desire for your destruction. He wants each one of you to be with him in that kingdom that he shares with his Father. He's calling for each one of you to exercise that faith, to just consider the only begotten of the Father and believe in my gospel, a very simple plan that he's laid out for the children of men, that can be found in both of the Gospels, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, both of those testimonies, lay out that beautiful plan of salvation, which is the same. And be baptized in my name. Isn't that what Christ said when John the Baptist came to him and he came to him? And he didn't feel worthy to do it because he knew he was looking at the Son of God. But he said, you know, suffer it to be, for this is to fulfill all righteousness. How can that escape those who believe in the Bible? The baptism is not necessary. If the Son of God, he being holy, fulfilling his Father's will, in humbling himself to be baptized, why is it so difficult for us to not be able to see that that's part of the plan, part of the gospel, to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Meaning that spirit, that promise that you read in John in the 14th chapter, I won't leave you comfortless, I will give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. If you follow the gospel plan, I will give that to you, to abide with you, to teach you of those things of my Father, and to help you, just as we read in the words of Isaiah, before you were even born, I was there. When you came out from the belly of your mother, I was there. And as you grew up, I was there to hold you. And when you got old, bald and gray, I was there till the day that you laid this life down. And I'll be there too, because I will receive your spirit and you will see me and you'll know I am he. May God bless you in your exercising of your faith. The Son of the living God. And allow him to touch your heart. Allow him to work within your heart. To do the things in which he's called us to do. And may God bless you in those things.